is Politics on Parade here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. Well, this week for supporters of gay rights, it was 1-2. In Chicago, the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals gave a clear win to supporters of gay marriage, with their decision coming from a panel of 3 judges. And you might even say that gay marriage supporters are 2-3 because this involved 2 states, Wisconsin and Indiana. And for both states, they threw out the gay marriage bans. That makes the number of states with gay marriage now 21. This week, there also was the first loss in court for supporters of gay marriage. But in order for that to happen, they had to find a judge in a state so profoundly ignorant and backward that they could possibly get a win. Where could they go? Well, they could go to number 1. That would be Mississippi. But there's number 2. Number 2 is Louisiana. That's grateful that there's a state such as Mississippi that keeps them from being the worst. So Louisiana, one of the most profoundly backward states in the United States, that's where they found a judge. This federal judge is U.S. District Judge Martin Feldman. He was appointed by Ronald Reagan back in 1983. Sounding like he might be kind of an old guy, he is. He's 80 years old. And we know that support for gay marriage comes pretty much based on demographics. The older you are, the more likely you are to oppose gay marriage. Now, this judge clearly opposes gay marriage. In fact, he clearly has animus against gays. He's got animus coming out of his ass. Now, I'm sure for supporters of bans on gay marriage, what they really wanted, what they really needed, was a cogent argument for their side. Something that made legal sense. Something that they could trumpet. And they are trumpeting this win. But this is not much of a win when you actually look at the ruling. In fact, this isn't much of a win. This will be so easily overturned because Martin Feldman seems to be pretty ignorant of even basic constitutional law. He gets a remarkable number of things just wrong based on basic facts. Judge Feldman first came to national prominence back in 2010. He was a judge who issued a preliminary injunction blocking a 6-month moratorium on deepwater offshore drilling. This is right after the Deepwater Horizon disaster, and the Obama administration issued the moratorium. It later turned out that Judge Feldman had a lot of investment in the oil industry and had ExxonMobil stocks. Interestingly, how that played out, he sold his ExxonMobil stocks, and then just hours after he did that, he issued his ruling lifting the moratorium. Many legal experts felt that the moral and ethical thing would have been for him to recuse himself, but he did not. His decision on same-sex marriage is horribly reasoned, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but first I'm going to tell you something that's going to disturb you, and it will disturb you even more after I talk about his rationalization for telling gay people that they can't get married. Feldman currently serves on the United States Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. For those of you who have been skeptical of this court, I think this will reinforce that skepticism, because this judge appears to not know what the hell he's talking about. That he sits on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court offers very little comfort for those who have concerns about that court. So let's get into the issues of the case. What was his reasoning? Well, he said some rather remarkable things, and I'm quoting here. And so, inconvenient questions persist. For example, must states permit or recognize a marriage between an aunt and a niece, aunt and nephew, brother-brother, father and child? May minors marry? Must marriage be limited to only 2 people? What about a transgender spouse? Is such a union same gender or male-female? Well, there's a whole bunch to tackle there. First of all, if we stop discriminating based on gender in marriage, then yes, transgender people will be able to marry, which is kind of a problem now. Because they got the same problem that gay people have. The law doesn't allow them to marry the people that they want to marry. So, yes, we will allow transgendered people to get married. It's obvious. Does this have anything to do with more than two people getting married? No. That's like the difference between a partnership and a corporation. They're very, very different things. This is about two people. Three people adds a level of complexity that I don't think we have really figured out how to legally deal with. Two people getting married, we kind of know how that works. So, no, it wouldn't have anything to do with two people. Father and child, no, there's genetic reasons that we don't allow that. Same with, well, brother and brother, don't have to worry about the genetic reasons there. So, okay, fair question. Aunt and nephew, aunt and niece, yeah, there may be power issues from age differences that might, but these are the dumbest question. And may minors marry? Judge, you don't even know the laws in your own state. Yes, in Louisiana, minors may marry. A couple older than 16 can get married with the signed consent of both parents. Or with an order from, guess what? What you are, a judge. Those questions you just brought up would have been laughed out of all of the other courts that have overturned gay marriage bans. He made a lot of the arguments that some of the people on the other side have made that have been thrown out of court because they were so ridiculous. He said, this court is powerless to be indifferent to the unknown and possibly imprudent consequences of such a decision. Well, actually, we kind of know. We've had legal same-sex marriage for many years. No problems at all. Okay, well, we've had some problems, but those are primarily based on the fact that it isn't recognized in all the states. Problems like get people who have been married go to another state and they can't get divorced. Problems like that, yeah, we have. That's all resolved by just making it all legal. You can't say, oh, we can't do something just because some possible unspecified bad thing might happen. We'd never be able to do anything, ever, if we used that kind of reasoning. He used the classic argument of everyone else is wrong, but I'm right, when he said, it would no doubt be celebrated to be in the company of the near unanimity of the many other federal courts that have spoken to this pressing issue, if this court were confident in the belief that those cases provide a correct guide. You know, Judge Feldman, there's this thing called Occam's Razor. This is usually the simplest answer is most likely to be the right one. So I'm thinking everybody else voted one way, you voted the other, the chances of you being the only right one, not so good. The judge said that gay marriage was inconceivable until very recently. You know, in Rome they had gay marriage. One of the emperors married one of his slaves. He used one of the absolutely worst of all arguments, although all his others are pretty bad, when he said, the court is persuaded that a meaning of what is marriage that has endured in history for thousands of years and prevails in a majority of states today is not universally irrational on the constitutional grid. Okay, I don't know what a constitutional grid is, but I do know a thing or two about marriage. Marriage, the way we perceive it today, man and woman fall in love, get married, have children, that's new. Traditionally, we've had polygamy for thousands of years. Traditionally, marriage has been arranged by the parents. The young people didn't have any choice. We still see that in many places in the world today. You don't have a choice. You're forced to marry someone by your parents. That's a far longer standing tradition than what we have today. And one of the longest historical standing traditions with marriage is a man got to fuck everybody. You got to fuck your slaves, you got to have mistresses, you got to have sex with everybody. Women, not so much. They didn't have any rights at all in marriage. Marriage today has almost absolutely nothing to do with the concept of historical marriage, which for the largest amount of time was about property rights. Your wife had no rights of her own. She was property. And even if this were not an absolutely ridiculous argument, the Supreme Court has ruled, time and time again, that tradition is not enough justification to uphold the law. And the judge asked the question, what about allowing minors to marry? Well, traditional marriages usually involved very young girls, child brides. Is that one of the thousands of years old traditions that you want to uphold? And I suppose you would also uphold miscegenation laws that the Supreme Court banned. Yeah, Louisiana. Yeah, I bet you would. The judge describes being gay as one of several lifestyle choices a person can make. Yeah, I guess they probably believed that in the 1950s when he began his legal career. But, you know, we don't believe that anymore. At least anybody who knows things. Here's a head-scratcher. He wrote that the courts recognize three levels of review that can apply in constitutional cases. You've got rational basis, intermediate scrutiny, and heightened scrutiny. He says that rational basis is the least austere, heightened scrutiny the most arduous. Okay, he's not right there. The legal term for the most arduous standard of constitutional review is strict scrutiny. He would have failed a first-year law school test on that. And he repeatedly cites dissenting opinions. In this case, he cited the opinion of Chief Justice John Roberts in his dissenting opinion in United States v. Windsor. But you don't cite the losing side, you cite the winning side of the Supreme Court. Legal authority doesn't come from the losing opinion. He does refer to the classic Loving v. Virginia case. That was the case where miscegenation laws banning interracial marriage, were thrown out. Many people have made comparisons between gay marriage and the bans against interracial marriage. The judge said, heightened scrutiny was warranted in Loving because the 14th Amendment expressly condemns racial discrimination as a constitutional evil. In short, the Constitution specifically bans differentiation based on race. Except, he's wrong. That's not what's in the 14th Amendment. It doesn't talk about race. Here's what it says. No state shall deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws, all people. We're not talking about race. We're talking about everybody, even the Irish. That's a Blazing Saddles reference, in case you missed it. So, he gets wrong one of the amendments to the Constitution when he's dealing with constitutional issues. Because I guess he read it a long time ago and doesn't remember it anymore, because he's 80. So, the bottom line is that they managed to get a case before one of America's most ignorant federal judges. But it's a Pyrrhic victory. This will be appealed, and it will be overturned, because it's almost too easy. You hardly even have to work at it. This decision is so badly reasoned. So call this one a loss, but it won't be a loss for long.